What's good, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Health in the Hole. Today is going to be a short episode on what to do when you have an injury. Hey, like I said at the top, we're going to have a short episode today. This is an episode about what you want to do when you have an injury. And I'm not talking about injuries like fractures or severe injuries like spinal cord injuries or other catastrophic thing like a laceration or something like that. I'm talking about those everyday muscle and joint injuries, the little tweaks of your ankle when you step wrong on the hiking trail, or little injuries in the knee or pains in the knees and shoulders and wrists and those types of things where there's little tweaks that seem to bother you and are painful for sure, but not necessarily severe like the ones you might think about, like broken bones and other severe injuries. So typically, the advice for these types of injuries, those little tweaks of your joints or your muscles and strains and sprains, those are told to RICE. You're told to RICE those injuries, and that is an acronym that stands for rest, ice, compress, and elevate. However, some of you may know this already, but that acronym is a little bit outdated now. In fact, the same person that created or coined the term RICE, rest, ice, compress, and elevate, has retracted his statement and actually says that it shouldn't be rest, ice, compress, elevate. It should be motion or movement, ice, compress, and elevate. This is because a lot of research has came out to say that motion is better for those injuries that are strains, sprains, tweaks here and there of your bones, muscles, and joints. Those types of things are better served with motion. They heal faster with motion. So next time you're on the slopes and you tweak your knee or roll your ankle when you're hiking on a trail, move it first. The first thing you want to do is immediately trying to regain range of motion. Now, this doesn't mean force yourself to get range of motion that you used to have. Gently do range of motion exercises that get you back to the mobility that you used to have before the injury. It's going to take a while. This is not a process that occurs in hours, but as you are rehabbing that injury, immediately what you want to do once you injure that area is to start moving it. Now, you can also ice, compress, and elevate it, but we're going to talk about a couple of those things and kind of come back to say that motion is the best compared to all of those things. To move it and to restore range of motion is the best thing you can do right away. So one thing that's an example of that is if you sprain your ankle, an idea of motion that you can use to regain range of motion is to do an ankle alphabet. Draw with your toes the letters A, B, C, D, E. And that'll help regain range of motion in a gentle manner that is done to tolerance. You're not forcing it. You're just using your muscles and your own willpower to push your ankle into the range of motion that it used to have. Now, after that, then you're going to gradually return to some of the functional things that you do throughout your life. You're just going to keep walking. You're going to keep slowly getting back into skiing or snowboarding by doing a little bit at a time and seeing how it feels, that kind of a thing. So you're not going to force it again. You're not going to push yourself too far to re-injure that area, because the biggest risk to having an injury in an area is a previous injury. So take it easy. Don't go too hard or too far or too long. Just gradually and gently ease back into the functional activities that you used to do. Now, why is this a benefit? Why is motion so helpful for healing? Well, for one, motion helps pump out waste that builds up after an injury. So if you sprain your ankle, a little bit of scar tissue forms in the area that's sprained, in the ligament that's been a little bit torn, and that scar tissue gets cleared out during the healing process. Some of it remains in order to stabilize that ligament or joint, but the rest of it, the cells that may have died during the injury, the waste products that may have developed through the healing process need to go somewhere. And motion helps to pump those things out of the area so that your body can keep healing. When that waste is in the way, it's less efficient at healing itself. It's like having your house filled with all your trash and you're trying to cook a meal. If there's a bunch of trash is in the way, you're not going to cook a meal as easily as you want to. You're not going to build up tissue as easily as you want to either when there's a bunch of trash in the way. So the act of moving your muscles helps pump the waste out back up and through your lymph nodes and helps it get cleared out of your body through the process of excretion. Now, the other thing that motion does is it helps improve blood flow. Moving your muscles brings blood to the area because your muscles require blood to perform. So by using those muscles, you stimulate the flow of blood. That flow of blood prevents your muscles from decaying and dying. If you brace your foot, your ankle after an injury, those muscles aren't being used. So those muscles aren't requiring blood to perform any function because they're not moving at all. So when they don't have blood flow, the muscle starts to decay a little bit. They start to get a little bit smaller. Cells start to get a little bit smaller. This is known as atrophy. So moving helps prevent atrophy so that when you get back to the activities that you used to enjoy, you don't have to start from a lower stage or as low of a stage as you would if your muscles had atrophied, because an atrophied muscle is not a strong muscle. Now, the last thing that motion does is it helps speed up healing by producing proteins and growth factors that strengthen your cartilage, strengthen your tendons, your muscles, and your bones by moving and putting a load into an area that may have been previously injured or any area that's not injured. Putting a load in that area helps stimulate the production of these proteins and growth hormones that help your muscles get stronger and help the tissues around those muscles also get stronger. That's the definition of weightlifting, more or less. So this isn't saying you have to go weightlift after an injury, but any motion at all has the same effect of stimulating this production of proteins and growth factors that help strengthen your body and heal faster. So all this to say, all these reasons are why the coiner of the term RICE, rest, ice, compress, elevate, has now recanted that statement and said that it should be MICE and not RICE. The acronym should be motion, ice, compress, elevate. Now, I do have one caveat to that new acronym, and that is the use of ice. Ice may not be the best thing to use after an injury like the ones we're talking about, after these sprains and strains. And the reason why is because ice slows down the healing process. So this is a trade-off. If you want to numb the area to reduce pain more than you want to speed up healing, then ice could be a good option. However, ice slows down the healing process. So if you can handle the pain, if you can handle a little bit of the discomfort that comes with that injury, go without the ice because you'll heal faster and get back to doing what you love to do sooner by not icing. Like I said, this is a trade-off. So if you really can't handle it, if you really want to get through the day in an easier fashion, then yeah, maybe ice would be beneficial. But it's not absolutely necessary to help you heal better. Just know that when you make the decision to ice an area. Now, the other two, compress and elevate, the research has shown that has a variable impacts on healing and the speed of healing of an injury. So I think they could be useful. The compression of an area also helps to pump out waste, like we talked about before, or it helps prevent the buildup of waste. So the waste goes somewhere against gravity better when the area is compressed instead of building up with fluid around that sprained ankle and getting really, a really big ankle. So it helps pump out fluid in that way. And then elevation also does the same thing where you use gravity to your advantage of pushing the waste and the fluid towards your heart or away from the area that's going to get swollen or inflamed. So movement is the best thing you can possibly do for these typical injuries of spraining, straining, tweaking your muscles, your joints, and other areas of your body. The other things that you can do for your body are less impactful or not as impactful on healing, and the number one thing you can do is to move them. Again, this is excluding severe injuries, it's excluding fractures, it's excluding cord injuries, and it excludes all other catastrophic injuries. This is not what I'm saying. You shouldn't go move your broken arm immediately after you break it. So you're going to have to rule out those things first, but a lot of us know when something is just kind of damaged a little bit and not a big issue, right? So when that's the case, then move it. Otherwise, go see somebody to figure out what it is, because you probably aren't the best person to diagnose your own fracture, right? Now, obviously, movement sometimes hurts when we have an injury. So instead of just moving it into pain, you can also look for alternatives that are less painful, more tolerable than the typical range of motion push into the pain type of exercise. So like I said before, those ankle alphabets for a sprained ankle could be useful for restoring range of motion. You can do it to tolerance and slowly increase the size of your letters or the range of your motion as you keep improving your range of motion through your ankle. You can also just walk for things like knee injuries or knee pain. Walking, if running hurts, walking might be a better alternative that doesn't hurt. In the shoulder, you could do things like arm pendulums. Instead of like lifting weights, you can just hang your arm off a table and slowly increase the size of a circle that you make with your fist, an imaginary circle you make with your fist. And then there's other things like swimming or running in underwater. You can do things like riding a stationary bike rather than a mountain bike. Or you can do Nordic skiing for if you have lower body injuries, just moving through any range of motion, even when it's a different body part, will help produce those proteins that we talked about and the growth factors that help strengthen an area and heal the area of damage. So anything that you do, even if it's not necessarily in the area of injury, can help to improve the area of injury. It can help heal that faster just by getting some motion in and not being laid up in bed. Being laid up in bed is just one of the worst things you can do for an injury. It's as simple as that. So get out and move. Use your body. All right, that is it. Like I said, short episode, but it might be something that a lot of us need to hear, is it's okay to move. It's actually better to move than anything else. And if you need a little help figuring out if an injury is a true injury, like fractures or catastrophic injury, then you can come to us. Come to the doctors that have studied this stuff. We can help direct you and guide you in the right direction. And that'll just be a helpful way to give you the clearing of saying, all right, you're good to go. This isn't anything serious. You're welcome to move. I swear that's most of what my practice is giving people the confidence to say, this is nothing serious. You can do what you want to do. It'll get better. Don't worry. Right? It's as simple as that. Okay? We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Health in the Hole. If you liked it, please subscribe so you can hear more episodes.
And remember, this podcast is not medical advice. Consult your health provider before doing anything drastic.